Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
They're longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now, these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs. On 95.7, The Game.
Oh my gosh, what a wonderful day! Wow, doesn't it feel different? It feels different to me. That's a whole lot of drama, that's a whole lot of worrying, and I would say about half of one quarter in, you could still worry. You'd be like, oh, they went 3-and-out, and then they got a field goal where they went 3-and-out. And then Aaron Rodgers marched him down the field, and Breece Hall threw a football off the back wall, and the Jets are thinking upset, and they lead 7-3. 65,000 have been led to sit on their hands, and from that moment forward, oh my goodness, complete and total dominance all across the board. I don't think there's one aspect of 49er football. Nothing was perfect, but you're not going to take shots at any aspect of the game. Offense, defense, special teams, coaching, any position group. Nobody was terrible. Nobody left a bunch on the table out there. Complete and total dominance of a team that is one of the top 10 favorites in the NFL, and an entire offseason of stress has been put to rest.
For the most part, yeah. You got a wide receiver who didn't go to camp and had two drops, sure, which is not good, but you won by 13, so it's not even a headline. And it's the only thing I thought of when you were laying that out about, you know, nobody or no aspect was disappointing. That was about the only disappointing thing, and it didn't matter, right, because your offense was humming. You scored on 8 possessions in a row, and it was night-night. And people want to talk about, oh, those field goals, they need to be touchdowns, and that has to be touchdowns. Okay, so you want to score 56 points in an NFL game, which is extremely rare. And yeah, 2 touchdowns and 6 field goals, you'd rather have it be the other way around, which would be 48 points.
That's a lot of points.
But you scored. You got the ball, and you scored. And when you do that, it doesn't matter if it's a ton of threes. You're going to win a lot of games.
You're going to win a ton of games. 9 straight drives with points is phenomenal. And, yes, you know, those who want to say you got to be better in the red zone, it's interesting. I mean, Jake Moody was so great because they didn't get to the red zone a whole lot. I thought they were fine once they got into the red zone. It was kind of the high red where things were stalling out sometimes. And, sure, a ball was dropped in the end zone. And we will talk about that because Peyton Manning on ManningCast left nothing on the table there. And I have an observation about what it sounded like in the stands when that happened, because Brandon Ayuk, I do think there's something he's going to have to be ready for. He probably is. But the tone around Brandon Ayuk is a little different now. When stuff like that happens, I'm sure it'll dissipate and he'll get back to himself and everything will be fine. But sure, you can nitpick everywhere. But all in all, to me, last night served as a humongous
just pill of medication to calm everyone and everything down, they still very much look like an elite football team. And the stress got ramped up, as you know, as we know, right before kick.
Of course, yeah.
With Christian out. And for them to end up looking like that without Christian, I think served another helping
for sure
of anxiety reducers.
I get it, and I think the anxiety was among the fan base. I think the team kind of was self-confident knowing that they're a really good team, but now that they've gone out and showed it, they showed it on Monday night, and you score 8 times in a game, and it was really never in doubt after the Jets scored the touchdown to take the lead. Okay, nice drive, nice touchdown. It didn't mean anything as far as the flow and the rhythm of the game. The Niners go right back, and they score, and then they turn the faucet off on the Jets, and you saw why this team is going to be really good, if healthy, complimentary football. The offense didn't need touchdowns. Field goals and ball possession, that's fine. And then the defense would get them the ball back, and they'd score 3, or they'd get 7 this time. And they did the classic Shanahan double up, where you score at the end of the half, and you get the ball to start the third, and you score again. And at that point, it was night-night. Shanahan and the team was in complete control of that game from about the 10-minute mark all the way through.
So we would love to hear from you today, and we made this kind of a tradition over the last couple of years after 49er games and play a little game of what we learned. 888-957-9570, your reaction to the football game. You can take that wherever you want to go. What did we learn? It can be good. It can be bad. It can be anywhere in between. We'd love to hear from you today. 888-957-9570. The day after games, we leave our guest list relatively clean because we just want that to be you. So give us a ring. What did you learn? What did you think? 888-957-9570. You keep saying, and this is absolutely accurate, that if they are blessed with health, and that is, of course, a standard for all NFL football teams. But I will say this, there's a chance that that football team that we watched last night, that football team, over the next handful of weeks, is going to acquire Christian McCaffrey, Dre Greenlaw, portions of Brandon Ayuk, and the breath of Trent Williams. That team is going to acquire D. Winters. That football team stands within reason to get even better.
Talanoa Hufanga as well.
Talanoa Hufanga, thank you very much. Yeah, and the rookies who will keep getting better. And the other big observation for me is I've always thought this, it's the least sexy thing to do in the world. However, it's what makes football teams good. If you get a great amount of production from your offensive line, you will play great football.
Yeah.
And they were fantastic last night. If they play like that, Niners are going to go a long way.
Especially the way they had the run game going. They had the Jets on skates. And the beauty of watching Dominic Pooney is that you feel like you can run right now when you need to get a big play or you need a big yard. It's been a lot of run left behind Trent throughout the majority of his time here because he's a Hall of Famer, and it's pretty bankable to do that. But now you've got the ability to run right, and they did it a lot behind Pooney last night, and you got that one drive where it was just run after run, left, right, toss, and the rest of it. I thought Shanahan was in his bag. Once he realized that the offensive line had to jump on the Jets, he realized he could just run them into the ground, and he did.
Yep, absolutely. And then I also thought, I know what happens. It's the fantasy football world in which we live. It's box score babies who don't really watch the game with a fine-tooth comb, and I totally get it. But last night was an absolutely phenomenal night for the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers because he has been told his entire career, yeah, that's fine. Plucky little Brock, you're very, very good because of everything around you, and you have a good coach and a good system, and so you know how to run that very well. But what would you ever do? And in fact, the future contract that everyone worries about is based on what would you do when you don't have your top weapons around you? And for him to play the way he did, turnover free, under control, moving the ball consistently, very high percentage again with his passes, to do all of that and be on point. And by the way, how much better would his night have looked if he had about 25 more yards and a touchdown throw?
Exactly.
Which all Brandon has to do is hold on to the ball. To do that without Christian McCaffrey on the field, That is a significant moneymaker night on Monday Night Football for Brock
Purdy. Yeah, he was solid. He didn't have to do anything too spectacular. He made the throws he needed to, and he didn't make mistakes. And that basically became the blueprint early on in that game because the ground attack was going to be so prolific. You had a lot of third and short, second and short for Brock. They converted. He made a couple of the big throws he needed to make. But by and large, that was not a go-win-the-game-for-us Brock kind of atmosphere. Once you got on top and then you get that first score in the third quarter, that's when you realize that the Jets were going to be up against it, and they hadn't moved the ball other than the one drive early in that first quarter. So you got up by two scores and you were able to just to put it into second gear. And so Brock didn't have to really do anything too spectacular, which is what you really want from your quarterback.
I mean, but he was at, like, I look
he was
more.
Good. He's fine.
Yeah, I look at, like, the plays that are there and what do you do with them? His accuracy largely was very good. I know he missed some throws here and there. He threw a huck one over Kyle Juszczyk's head at one point. But I would say not only did he not turn the ball over, I only saw maybe one throw that even made me think.
Oh, it was risky.
Ooh, that was kind of dicey. It was the one that he threw to Saubert. Down
in the double coverage.
Yes, down the right seam. And you know, he put it high, which is what you want to do. You want to put it high. There were a lot of people, actually, that put it high last night. I've smelled it. But anyway, like, he put it high. That's what you want to do. Give your receiver a chance at a fingertipper. Thank you. It was. We know Levi Stadium and how you do it. But anyway, he threw it at a spot that it was probably going to be incomplete. And it was.
Yeah.
But that was the only throw where, like,
one of my seatmates called it a Jimmy Ono throw.
No, it's not. And I know which one that would be. But
was
it's not
quite. I agree. But
it's not.
It was into double coverage and it was high and it felt unnecessary, but
it's also third down, and you're throwing all the way downfield into the other team's red zone.
I get it.
So you're like, if it gets picked, it's a punt. You know what I mean? And speaking of punting, do the Niners have a punter? I saw Wisnowski early. Did he get hurt? Because I didn't see him come back out onto the field the rest of the game.
No, they scored on eight consecutive possessions.
Correct.
So when you do that, and that's actually what Kyle was saying after the game. He's like, yeah, I know. I didn't really see Mitch and stuff. And so I don't know how many points, you know, how many times in a row and stuff. But
he left, man. He went golfing.
Seriously. He punts a minute and 29 seconds into the game. Just go home.
Go home.
What if he's like, I'm out of here. You guys won't need me.
Draymond actually got called down to the field and goes, we don't need you.
Nice.
We don't need you.
Man.
What a great night.
Clinic.
What a great night.
And, should put everyone in ease.
It should. And you know, look, what was our whole thing about week one in the NFL? Boy, everybody looks out of sync. And the Niners certainly had their moments right out of the gate. You know, three and out. And another three and out even after they get the fumble and you're up 3-0. But this is how I would put it. I thought the 49ers got their stuff together largely quicker than just about any other NFL team that I saw over the weekend. I mean, the Saints looked like they had their act together. I don't know if they were just playing the Panthers.
Sure.
But there were very few teams that looked like they got their act together in the first half of their football game. The Niners were one of them.
Yeah, and when they get that going with a backup running back, RB2, who he may be RB1 again this week. We don't know if
probably
Christian McCaffrey is going to be able to answer the bell or not. But going into this week, if you don't have McCaffrey, you feel better than you did yesterday at about 4 o'clock.
What a night for him.
What a night.
What a great night for him. And we will get to, you know, someone in another city, because the Niners played on Monday Night Football, had me on their radio show today. And he referred to, go ahead, Grandy. He referred to what happened with Mason last night as the controversy after the game. And I kind of was like, I'm bummed about that word. It's probably not wrong, I guess. JP clearly was agitated and he looked right at a room full of media members and said, this is why I don't like talking to the media. And it's interesting to do that when it's literally like your first time that the media is ever really focused on you. And so I don't know. Was it controversial? I just found it all in all disappointing. I understand the media stumbled into this stuff, and we'll explain to you what happened if you don't know. But they stumbled into this. I do think they have to ask the questions. I don't have any problem with the questions, but I also understand why Mason was annoyed and sort of gun-shy on answering any of this stuff. And in the end, I just find it unfortunate. Last night should have been a night where Mason thought, this is the greatest night of my life. This is the greatest night of my professional life. And instead, he is like mad after the game. So that's kind of a bummer.
It's a bummer. And it's also, I think, the scourge, the dark underbelly of gambling in our sports. Because of gambling, we have to have official designations. And because we need official designations, and you tell somebody something on Friday, theoretically, and something happens on Sunday where you change the designation of a player at the last minute, there is a certain amount of competitive edge to it if they wanted to do that. I believe it was just a misunderstanding where...
I agree with you.
They said to him on Friday, dude, we're going to need you.
Right.
And maybe he will start. It doesn't mean that he's going to take 80% of the carries if he happens to start.
I took it the same way, that they looked at him on Friday and said, your role is probably going to be much more significant on Monday night.
So
does that mean you're starting, getting 28 carries? Does it mean Christian's in a baseball cap? It doesn't mean any of those things. But when someone says, hey, when did you find out that this was going to be different? He's like, Friday.
Exactly.
I'm with you.
To me, that doesn't compromise the legality, and the Niners should not be facing any punishment for anything that they did that was nefarious, because there's nothing there.
We're sponsored by Lucky California. For those of you who are like, wait, whoa, tell me more about this Jordan situation, we will let you hear all of the commentary, all of the comments, the back and forth with Jordan Mason after the game last night, coming up next. Plus, we'd love to hear from you. What'd you learn? We've been waiting all offseason for last night. What did you learn? We would love to take your calls. 888-957-9570. Niners are 1-0. This is Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
This is the fourth snap for Rodgers. Floyd was there, and it's a little flip, a catch, a fumble by Hall, and a recovery by the 49ers. Warner made the stop and punched it right out of the arm of Breece Hall.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Why are you shaking your head on that one?
Fourth snap,
which is the same snap that Aaron Rodgers' season ended on last year.
Number four. How many snaps?
Four.
How many?
Four!
R-E-L-A-X.
Four snaps. Four S-N-A-P-S. Four snaps.
Yep.
Just like last year, bad things happen on the fourth snizap for Aaron Rodgers.
I think next year, if Aaron Rodgers plays again next year, just kneel. Just snap
or
it.
Or leave him out there to punt.
Take a knee.
Take a knee, dude.
Second and 12, no big deal. Take a knee. But, yeah, that fourth play.
Yep.
That one's been tough. 888-957-9570. Let's hear from you. What did you learn last night? We got this on the Xfinity mobile text line. I learned that the Niners play much hungrier than the Jets. Do you buy that?
No. I don't think that they... I mean, that implies that they wanted to win more than the Jets wanted to win. I do think that most of these football games come down to the trenches and who's going to win the battle. And the Niner offensive line was so much better than the Jet defensive line. That was the big edge in the game. The Niner D-line, yeah, better than the Jets O-line, but the Niner defense in totality was just better, forcing two turnovers and, in general, making it difficult on the Jets to move the ball. But the other side, the Niner O-line, it was almost hot knife through butter on the ground. I mean, they were pushing them in every direction they needed to be pushed.
No, and Mason was fantastic. The line was fantastic. Brock was totally under control. I really think that one of the great things about football is usually, I mean, if the game is really close, then the game is really close. But when one team is clearly better than the other, it goes that way. I don't know if you can say that in a baseball game. Like, somebody can fist the ball over the first baseman, and you score a couple runs, and that's the end of that. And in basketball, one individual can go for 50 or 60 and just tilt a game. But in football, when your roster, top to bottom, is physically dominant over the other roster, the game goes that way. And I think you can always see it with the 49ers. Remember when we talked about this last year? Like, the score will be a little bit different every time, but the bottom line is sort of this. If you get to about halfway through the fourth quarter and the Niners have somewhere around 30 and the other team has somewhere around 13, it's the same football game. And we watched that week in and week out for portions, long runs of last year. And last night was the same thing. And I'll be honest with you, Dibs, I did not expect that this quickly. I thought the Niners could get to that, but the Jets being such a good defense, it being week one, there being no Christian, I thought 30 points was a little hot. You remember I had said first one to 25 is going to win the game, and only one will get that far. But going over 30, I thought was asking a lot. To do it with only two touchdowns is bananas. And so the Niners were not hungrier. They were just flat out better.
Right.
Everywhere.
More efficient and just dominant on both sides. And I'm looking at the expected points number for the game. And the Niners in passing and rushing were dominant. 8.35 and 4.21. The Jets defense, obviously the converse of that. The Niners dominated with the pass and with the run. And when you score on eight consecutive possessions, even if it is field goals, that's going to bode well for you and your offense. And you do have to tip the cap to Jake Moody. Last year, he was a point of consternation. Many people were, oh, you spent a third-round pick on a kicker, and now he's had a couple of big misses. That is why, last night was why you drafted him in the third round. 6 for 6 with a couple from legit distance. He could be a legitimate weapon for this team all
year. That was fantastic.
The clinic.
That was absolutely fantastic, because there's nothing worse than having a good football team, and then when the kicker comes out, everybody starts holding each other's hands. Like, oh, crap, here he comes.
Prayer beads.
And so we're not there yet, but even last year, you know, Moody was a rookie. He was more good than bad. I know there were some high-profile misses. But if he can become one of these dudes, one of these automatics, if he can do that, what another weapon. What another weapon that would be.
I just have decided that tonight I'm going to do a Moody Mega Millions. Moody Mega Millions.
Moody Mega Millions.
Because it's 800 and something tonight.
I think it's just right at 800, or did it go up some more?
Here is your Moody Mega Millions ticket. 46, 51, 31, 53. 23, 42, Moody, Mega Millions.
Give me the longest three again. There were two over 50 yards.
51 and 53.
And then there was a 48?
46.
46.
And a 42.
And a 42.
And a cute little 23.
Oh, that
and
was
he had one from 31, adorable.
You know what? I had to not fight. I hate saying that at a football game. I had to try to...
You fighting?
No, I clapped really loud to do my best to at least get a few people around me to stop moaning when Kyle Shanahan wouldn't go for it on 4th and 1, because situationally, that was the right thing to do. That was the right thing
to do. So you're clapping back for Shanahan?
I was like, yeah, go up by 16, because there was no reason. Like, yes, under any, not any, but most circumstances, that's a go for it. But you got to keep your wits about you with the circumstances. The time,
9:46 to go.
That's right. Yep. You're in the fourth quarter. You're already up by two scores. You can make it two scores plus two 2-point conversions. There's just no reason to take that risk, even though it was only a small risk.
Fourth and one from the five.
From the five.
So you could have killed a couple more minutes, too, if you get the one, and then now you have first and goal at the four.
You could have.
Even if you end up settling for three, you could have eaten more time. But I'm with you. That's the prudent move. You get the points, especially against an offense that really had only had one significant drive to that point, and they would get another one in garbage time. But your defense has really been controlling things on the other line.
888-957-9570. The Niners are 1-0. All the fears are calmed. 888-957-9570. What'd you learn? And I want to do a special shout to A, whoever was stressed the all bleep out after training camp. How do you feel now? And two, where are all my Brock can't play without Christian people? Where are you today? 888-957-9570. Oh, I'm sorry. A bonus third. Hey, Dollar Bill.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Dollar Bill, who said that we had to let you on the air when the Jets won by double digits last night. Promises made, promises kept. You were going to call, Jet fan, no matter what.
Oh, he'll be here.
Today on Willie and Diddy.
I have an update for you guys.
Oh.
He called the post-game show last night and said, I'm calling now just in case I can't tomorrow because I'm traveling to Maui, is what he said.
That's a flex.
Oh, gosh, what a flex.
Yeah, more like $100 bill.
My guess is he's not calling today.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Great job, by the way, in the
phenomenal job.
We all were with you on the way home. And Sterling, sneaky funny. He was running some material off a win.
He was.
I liked it.
I almost had to call in, but I'm like, look, let's let everybody cook. But Kyle Madsen with the Brock Purdy was like, fine. Come on, Kyle. He was good.
You can pick whatever word you want. And he was, was he good? He wasn't great.
No,
he
but
was
you,
fine. He but, was good.
Okay, hold on. But the wasn't great is sort of based on... He didn't make any sparkling. Like, that's what I mean. What did he do wrong? What did Brock do not well?
He had a couple of throws that he probably would like to have back.
Well, that's every quarterback, every game ever.
And he was fine. If you were to just degrade Brock Purdy, probably give him a B+. He won the damn game. All he can do is win the game.
I'm trying to think about what did he do bad? What did he not do well?
He had a couple of throws that were, one was wide open that he overthrew Juszczyk, and he threw one into double coverage, and he was... not lucky, but that was the kind of pass that could potentially get intercepted.
I mean, if you throw the ball 29 times, and what we've got out of that was he once overthrew Juszczyk, and another one was like, a little scary for us.
He was good. Fine.
Yeah.
It was fine.
You know me. I hate the word fine.
I know you do. That's how we started our run together. Fine.
Like, you all know this. If you got a girl or if you got a guy, if they say things are fine... things aren't fine. You know that that's the case. All of you know this. Hey, hon, how you doing? I'm fine. Oh, crap, I'm sleeping on the couch again tonight. I hate the word fine.
Well, you got a new couch.
It's very comfortable. That's a good place to get it.
Thank you.
Don't do he was fine. He was not fine. He was way better than fine.
How about this?
If you don't want to call him great.
Nah. He was aight.
Oh, don't do that.
I mean, He was good.
He was good. He was good.
He didn't have
Brock
to be good.
Played well. No, he was. He was good. That was good. That was hitting open people. That was moving the ball for eight consecutive.
You know who was great? Kyle Flippin' Shanahan.
Yes, he was great. I'm not asking you to use the word great.
And I'm not going to say that anybody could have gone 20 for 29 behind that, but, you know, Brock didn't have to do much extraordinary.
Here we go.
And he had a couple drops. Shout out No Camp Ayuk. And I had this ready for Twitter. We'll go to the phones.
That was an elite throw, but go ahead.
I had one for Twitter, and then I chickened out on it.
What? What happened?
Because I thought it would work better on the radio than it would. After the second drop, I was typing, hey, Ayuk, next time instead of hold in, how about hold on?
That's pretty good.
Number three.
I thought it was better than a three.
I'd give it a 3.5. I don't want to give it a 4, but I don't want to give it a 3.
I thought that it played better on the radio. Like on Twitter, that thing lasts forever.
Now
I'm a jerk.
All you need is
on radio, it's just a quick little pew.
I know, but on Twitter, all you need is the right person to retweet it.
All of a sudden,
see what Dib said? He said, hold on.
I thought, it's funny because I offered it to Bonte and Guru. I said, hey, I got one for you guys if you want it for Twitter. They both passed, and then I typed it out, and I thought, you know what? If they're passing, I should pass.
You know, because anyway. We're on this, I'll just say it real quick, and then we can move on. Today's a great day, and I do think this is going to dissipate. And in the end, it's not going to be a big deal. And Brandon probably knows this, but if he doesn't, he should know this. Let's let you know, Brandon, what it sounds like, because I know you're in the press box.
Yeah.
I was in the stands now, okay? I want you all to know what it sounds like when you drop a ball in the end zone after holding out with poop emojis, skipping camp, and then coming in and saying, I probably made that more difficult than it needed to be. I want to be a Steeler. When you do that, we're all good here. You're a Niner, you're a phenomenal receiver, and everything's going to be fine. But, my man, when you drop that ball, I want you to know what it sounds like in the stands, and it ain't good. It ain't good.
Was it like a groan? It wasn't a full-fledged boo.
It was. It's not a boo.
It's just,
it's not even the sound. It's the comments.
Oh, boy.
It's the comments. There's no more.
I'm
like,
sure you had a pithy remark to make.
Well, I said, go camp next time! And
that's
then I
real.
Sat back down and had some Skittles, and everything was fine. Like, I didn't. It wasn't a big deal because the Niners were winning.
Right.
And so it's okay. But the buzz is sort of New York-ish, Philadelphia-ish. When you do that, I heard, oh, there's a $30 million for the drop pass, and then you miss camp and the drop pass. Like, you hear that. And you don't hear that from Jets fans. You hear that from 49er fans. And so, to me, that was the only holdover. I think it's going to dissipate.
Yeah,
but
well,
in the moment, when you do what you did, and then you show up, and then you drop balls, that's what it sounded like in the stands
okay.
last night.
I believe it. I believe it because up in press row, when, after the first one, I kind of leaned over to Bonte and I said, you know, no yelling in the press box. So I said, that's a segment. And he gave me the knowing look. We had afternoons, middays, and mornings. And after the second one, and I looked down, I said, that's a whole other segment.
That's an hour. An hour. If he drops another one, it might be the whole show.
Seriously. I don't want to dwell on the negative because last night was so awesome. The vibes were great. And this thing, if you just close your eyes,
brother,
and you smell it, it smells like February football.
It's so good.
That thing is humming.
They're so good.
Yep, no doubt.
They're so good. They're so buttoned up.
Got 99 problems and a Mitch ain't one.
I don't even know if they have 99 problems.
Yeah, seriously.
Probably only have like 14. They have like 14 problems. 19 problems?
Yeah.
Anyway.
One problem now.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was a problem.
He was a problem for the defense.
8 carries. I thought they'd run him, but after all that
Jordan Mason, I
started to think, who needs Debo? But God, he's so fun to watch with the ball.
Yeah, he's incredible. And such a matchup nightmare. Well, look, we're going to go to the phones. We promised this, though. So let's play it and then move on. But I want you to hear, just so you understand, the background of what was going on with Jordan Mason after the game. This is right there on the sideline. Kid has the best night of his life. So obviously, he's going to talk to Lisa Salters with ESPN.
When did you find out that you were going to be starting?
Friday night, you know, something like that. You know, I was RB1 at training camp, so, you know, just been preparing from there.
Okay, I think very key that he was like something like that. Friday.
Yeah.
Friday night. I don't know, something like that. Maybe it was Saturday. I can't remember. That was a few days ago. That's what he said. And then, of course, with Christian not being announced as out until an hour before the game started, it was a very early question of Kyle Shanahan when he reached the podium after the game.
I never told Jordan he was going to start. I told him he had to be ready a bunch, but that might have been Bobby or somebody trying to pump him up, but I knew he was going to have to play a lot. I told him that he was going to have to, wasn't going to be like usual. He was going to be a number two back that was splitting a lot of the time, but now he didn't know he for sure was doing that till today.
Okay, so like, could that have all got lost in translation? Yeah, I actually do think so.
Yeah.
Yes, like your role's going to be different on Monday night. And then Lisa goes, when did you find out? He goes, Friday. Well, when did you find out what? Like that Christian wasn't playing?
Well, I'm sure you didn't find that out then.
Right. I don't think that I believe that it wasn't decided yet at that time.
I agree. And I also think that the idea of him saying, yeah, I found out I'm going to start on Friday. Fine. You can start and you can be out there for the first carry and then you can never play again in a football game. and McCaffrey could come in. But yeah, you started. So this whole thing is lexicon, and I'm sure he was told on Friday night, like Shanahan saying, we're going to need you.
Yep.
It's going to be split carries at the least, and so be ready. And so Bobby Turner, running backs coach, I'm sure was saying that a hundredfold, like this is your chance, this is your time. So when Lisa asked him right after the game, I'm sure he wasn't thinking about the word starting. I'm sure that the question probably was, when did you find out you were going to play a lot?
And J.P. Mason, just checks notes, has never spoken to Lisa Salters. Like, this is, he's never been in this position.
Exactly.
He doesn't know the game yet, the media game. He's never been in the spotlight like this. So this is, I promise you, I'd tell you how it went. J.P. says that to Lisa Salters. You get to the locker room. And now Kyle Shanahan says what he says. Our good friend Corey Rush takes him aside and says, hey, just so you know, this is something kind of brewing here because you said one thing or they're going to take it that way. Kyle says another. We got to be careful as an organization. So then Mason gets his turn in front of the podium. No shame at Matty Maiocco, who's asking a fair question, although I understand why Jordan was annoyed by it. And here's that.
When did you find out that you'd be in the starting lineup?
That question right there is why I'm at. That's why I don't like really talking to media, because you say one thing wrong, and then, you know, I don't know. Just skip that question.
Yeah, just skip it. He says, that's why I'm mad. And so what that...
He said, you say one thing wrong, and I think what he said wrong was he found out that he was going to start Friday,
yeah.
And what he found out Friday was, you're going to get to run the ball. You're going to be a big part of our game plan. We don't know about CMC, but we do know about you, and you're getting a crack. So be ready on Monday night. That's what I believe he meant to say. You know?
I agree with you, and I also think in the end this is a fat nothing burger.
Agreed.
Even if the Niners do get fined, y'all losing sleep? Anybody not going to bed tonight if the Niners lose like $1 million or something like that? Did you go to the game last? Did it look like the Niners made some money last night?
Wow.
Are we okay? Are we okay? So the bummer for me, I wish for J.P. Mason nothing but champagne last night, man. Like, that was a big night for this young man. That's a life-changing night. The world is talking about him today after Monday Night Football. It's a big deal, and I wish nothing but smiles after that whole thing.
Unfortunately, that second cut you played, I wasn't hearing smiles in his voice.
No.
He was mad, and he was a little bit shaken, and I think that he was a little taken aback at what you're talking about. You're coming off a 28 carry, one touchdown night on Monday Night Football in the opener in a pinch at home for a team with Super Bowl aspirations. You're on cloud 36.
Yep.
And by the time you get to the podium, you're just Jordan Mason who has to answer questions that he doesn't want to answer.
Yeah, he sounded exhausted and exasperated.
Yeah. And that's
that
less than an hour later.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
That stinks all the way around. All right, 888-957-9570. What'd you learn? What'd you think of Brock without Christian? What'd you think of Mason? Where should this go from here? All of it. Anywhere you want to go. Let's talk to you. Tony in the City with Willie and Dibby. Hi, Tony. Thanks for calling.
Hey, fellas, maybe you remember yesterday I called you guys and I said, we are going to kick the crap out of the Jets.
Of course we remember.
Yep, told you guys, man. The only thing that concerns me is that without CMC and with Ayuk looking at 50%, I think that's why we had a hard time in the red zone so much. That's a little bit of a concern, but I think we'll be fine. But I love how no one's talking about Brock. We got our guy. It's not an issue anymore. We're stoked.
Yeah.
We're a great team, man.
Tony, I agree with you. I think last night, and we're going to get to this a little bit more in the 3 o'clock hour, I think last night was a massive night for Brock Purdy. I know that nobody wants to get, you know, there are no sparkling stats here. There were no touchdown passes. But this is a man who was, in many corners, he has been told through his career, yeah, that's fine, you're good, but come on, man. Christian. This is because of Christian and Kyle and Trent, and you're not going to be able to function without those weapons. Well, he went out and made Juwan Jennings look like a WR1 last night. That's what he did. He played without Christian McCaffrey. They put up over 30 points on Monday Night Football against one of the top rated, at least, coming into the year, defenses in the whole NFL. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a nice night. Nice night for Brock. And ultimately, whatever he does between now and January, if the Niners get there, will be secondary to what he does in January and hopefully February. Last night was a good, solid performance, 19 to 29. He did what he had to do. He made most of the throws that he was asked to make. He had half an Ayuk, and he didn't have CMC. So, yeah, you're going to have to run with a lot of the twos, I think, this year. And when Cowing and Pearsall gets healthy, and they're going to start to get in the rotation, and you are probably going to have other injuries that crop up to some of your skill guys. So Brock's going to have to do this a lot this year.
Let's go to Rick in Fremont next up. Hi, Rick. What's up? Yo, Willard and Dibs. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, second-time caller. I called last week. I'm the New York Giants fan, comparing the lowly Giants with the 49ers. But anyway, what a game last night. And I think, you know, I just want to take a moment to kind of set the stage a little bit. Points per game for the 49ers, 2023 and 2022. 2023 with Christian McCaffrey, 29.4 points per game. Without him, 20 points per game. 2022... with McCaffrey, 29.8. Without McCaffrey, 20.4. So there's a 9-point swing when McCaffrey is actually in the lineup. Having said that, and I know it's a small sample size, one game this year without McCaffrey, 32 points. And I think the 49ers offense this year might be more better rounded than 2022 and 2023, and that probably is because of better play and confidence in Purdy, JP playing as well as he did. Maybe Shanahan realizing that he cannot run McCaffrey into the ground. You know, he needs him fresher when it comes to playoff time, so he's had to diversify his playbook a little bit to look at other players and how to feed them the ball. But I think these guys are a better, more well-rounded offense this year than they have been in 2022 and 2023.
Yeah, Rick, I mean, time will tell on that. I would point to one thing you didn't point to there, and that's the offensive line. I just say this right now. If Brock Purdy gets that kind of time and the running backs, whoever they are, get those kind of holes, the Niners are going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, that if that offensive line plays like that, you're not stopping them.
Yeah, and it's not only the O-line, it's the scheme. And Kyle called a masterful game. The only one I didn't love is the third down double reverse pitch back.
Oh, that didn't work.
Yeah, that one hit me a little tone deaf. I didn't understand why. But hey, you know, other than that one play, Kyle was in his bag last night.
We'll keep it going. 888-957-9570. Love your calls, your reaction to the game, what we learned last night. Plus, Brockster's Millions. We'll explain around the corner. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises, Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.